And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, just got a text from Caitlin from Huntsville. That'd be my daughter, by the way, who was extremely astute, very politically savvy, master's degree in public administration. I'm not a proud father at all, not at all. Anyway, she just texted me, breaking news, says a little more than 30 minutes ago, she says the House, that's the U.S. House, voted to force the railroad unions to accept the terms of the tentative agreement. It is now passed on to the Senate. In her words, she says, ironic that Democrats are voting against a union. Well, that's my daughter. Great. So I hadn't seen the story yet, but I have no doubt she's right. So there's that. It looks like Biden couldn't get it done and got Congress to force a how do they do that? How do they force you to enter into a contract? I'm not even sure how that works. Yeah. All right. Hey, so we're in this section of the Triple Dipper called Conservative Leadership, and I'm going to go past the next break. I ran long with Andy Roth, but I'm going to go past this next break. But I got to tell you, you know, as we look at Freedom Caucus in D.C., they're the model for what we're trying to see in the states. And that's what Andy's working on. I mentioned earlier, and he confirmed, too, that a story on the Epoch Times dated yesterday, Pennsylvania Republicans form a state Freedom Caucus. It's the eighth one nationwide. 23 Republican members of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives have formed a state Freedom Caucus aiming to be the conservative voice in an increasingly Democrat-leaning state. The caucus was announced Monday in Harrisburg with an introduction by Representative Scott Perry, who chairs the U.S. Congressional House Freedom Caucus. So it basically is going to wind up being a block of representatives who will stand together against the pressures of state government and legislative leadership, is what Perry said. And they're basically, here's the thing. We're a bright red state. And yet, just as a bright red state, what is so frustrating is here we are, and Andy said it, and I hate to admit he's right, but they oftentimes Republicans in Alabama, it's this easy to be a cultural Republican, but being, you know, or cultural conservative, excuse me, but being a fiscal moderate or a big government moderate, or for that matter, even a leftist. I mean, it's ridiculous. But you're looking at right now a state with a Republican supermajority voted to raise your gas tax, has yet to come up with an idea about how to give you a tax incentive or tax decrease, despite the fact they have record surpluses, grew government at a rate bigger than California and New York did over the last 4 years, and you've got this stuff thrown in there like they legalized medical marijuana, and it's like, well, are we a red state or not? And yet that all happens. Well, it's because in a bright red state where there is no competition, everybody who believes they want to get elected has to have an R by their name for the most part. And so you get all kinds, and you do in D.C. too. I get it. There's different versions of what a Republican is. But there's also, by the way, an opportunity for people to get fat and lazy when they don't have any competition. And right now there are no true Democrat oppositions going on in the state house in Montgomery. And so Republicans are able to get fat and lazy. They don't have to go ahead and remember who they are and remember that people care. The electorate is more conservative than the members of the legislature as a whole. I don't mean like individual. There's some great, solid folks in there. I can think of several names right off the top of my head. But nonetheless, what we're seeing is the truth of what Andy Roth was saying. On a nationwide scale, the state legislatures, oftentimes you're seeing states like Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania are coming up with state freedom caucuses because as they become more purple and sometimes even left-leaning, there are groups of Republicans who say, not on our watch, and they get to busy and they get together and they form a freedom caucus. But here in Alabama, I've got leadership that has specifically asked me not to push for it. Asked me not to push for it. Why? They don't want to deal with it. Why? Because it's easier just to go along to get along. More on that. Conservative leadership, number two in the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering some ground across the northern part of our state. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Boomer, that last bump with the Black Crows.
Right here? Yeah. The Black twice as hard. Yeah.
I just wonder if some of these bands, like, they write a song and they ever think, this will make a great bump.
I don't know. Because
that one did.
That was such a good one. Yeah. I don't know if they do. I'm sure that after fact.
How many Black Crows songs do we have in the mix over there?
I think we have five.
Five total?
Four or five.
Oh, man.
I know. Just so good. I keep finding some.
The Black Crows apparently are the bump aficionados right now.
Yes.
All right. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. Conservative leadership, we're talking about it. By the way, top of the hour, we're going to jump into the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poore and Tim Melton, who is subbing in again for Dale Jackson. I'm just saying, Dale Jackson may be abdicating his role sometime soon. He may be ousted on the council. I don't know. Anyway, Jeff and Tim are going to be here at 4 o'clock, the Grand Council. You're going to want to hear that. All right, conservative leadership. What does it look like? Well, we know what it doesn't look like because you see it all the time. But what's happening right now is in D.C., you know the Freedom Caucus is making waves. When you start seeing them getting called out, I mean, they're not just those, you know, hiding in the background. Nobody cares. Who cares what the Freedom Caucus thinks? They're just, you know, so small. They don't make a difference. Apparently, they make a difference. Apparently, they make a difference. So much so that the House moderates are calling them out. I look at this and I just picture a bunch of squishy guys, the House moderates. So, by the way, if you are Representative Dave Joyce, who leads the moderate 50-member Republican governance group, are you just proud of yourself? Hey, I'm a moderate. What? Okay. Aren't you just proud? It's like saying, hey, I get it halfway done. I mean, I don't know what does that even mean. Hey, I can run 50 of the 100 yards on the football field. All right. Hey, I got a participation trophy.
That's good.
Okay. Anyway, FoxNews.com reports as of November 16th, just 2 weeks ago, moderate Republicans are preparing to flex their... See, here I was just dissing on them. Can't even run 50 yards of the whole football field. And the first thing it says is, moderate Republicans preparing to flex their political muscles. Okay. I'm sorry. Moderate Republicans preparing to flex their political muscles to ensure their newly won but narrow House majority is not hijacked by conservative hardliners from the Freedom Caucus who are looking to impose a new set of rules in 2023. Representative Dave Joyce, who leads the moderate 50-member Republican governance group, said there is a misconception that the Freedom Caucus will be able to dictate terms to House GOP leaders next year because of the slim majority Republicans will hold. His words, quote, they make the most noise, but as far as being productive, that's not necessarily true. First of all, let me just remind you guys of who some of the members are that we know of. House Freedom Caucus. I mean, not everybody has to come out there and say, I'm in the Freedom Caucus. They can be in the Freedom Caucus and remain anonymous if they want to. That way they're kind of in the mix. You don't know what's happening. But some of them do. People like, I don't know, Mark Meadows. How about Ron DeSantis when he was in Congress was a member of the Freedom Caucus? How about Jim Jordan? How about Mike Lee? I mean, these are names that when you hear, how about Ted, is Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz in the Freedom Caucus or not? Anyway, bottom line is the most conservative members of the House, Ted Cruz is in the Senate, what am I saying? The most conservative members in the House are the House Freedom Caucus on a variety of issues. Now, they don't have to always vote in lockstep. There may be something that one person has a personal issue with, and they're not required to vote, but they typically do. And when they vote in a block, and right now there are roughly 40 members of the Freedom Caucus, you can't get around them. Well, the 50-member moderate group, Republican Governance Congress, they're like, well, this is smoke and mirrors. We don't think they're a big deal. So Representative Joyce said his moderate caucus was closely watching the internal debate over what the House rules will be next Congress and who will serve as Speaker. He said some of his members were standing by, ready to serve as a counterweight to the Freedom Caucus. We're going to make it more moderate. We're going to go lightweight. We're going to make sure we don't do things tough. We believe we need to partner more with Democrats. We believe we need to have a softer shade of red, maybe almost like pink. I don't know. You were saying pink the same time I was, yeah. Since appearing to win the majority last week, the Freedom Caucus has moved to exert concessions from House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as a condition for supporting his bid to be Speaker. That's what Andy Roth is talking about. So here's the thing. Yes, to be elected Speaker, typically speaking, you're going to have 218 votes. He was 31 members short of the votes necessary within his own caucus, which means the only way Speaker he could become Speaker McCarthy is to either A, get the Freedom Caucus on board, which is the ideal, or B, have a bunch of Democrats support him, which never looks good. Says the Freedom Caucus, which now boasts more than 40 members, is demanding an overhaul of House rules in exchange for giving McCarthy his support. Pray tell, what kind of rules could they be? What are these heinous things that these rabble-rousers, these Freedom Caucus types, what would they be asking for? How about this? How about a rule that just says you can institute what's called the majority of the majority rule, which requires that a majority of the GOP conference has to support a bill before it comes to a floor vote? Oh, you mean we act like an actual party? Says hardliners are also pushing for committee chairmen to be appointed by the members of their individual panels rather than just leadership. Oh, you mean so in the future we don't have things like the January 6th commission with Nancy Pelosi picking her hand-picked, soft, lightweight Republicans? Or how about this? Another rule. Some would like to see budget bills go through committees instead of being combined with other pieces of legislation by leadership. That's racy, man. What are they thinking? How about this? The Freedom Caucus also wants to restore a rule that allows any lawmaker to call for a vote on removing the speaker at any time from the House floor. It wants to ensure that a floor vote is given to any amendment if at least 10% of the GOP supports it. The only one of these that's racy is the idea that you can vote to remove the speaker. That's the one that's going to make people mad. But there's nothing about these rules. There should be nobody in the GOP that minds saying that an amendment can be given a floor vote. It doesn't mean it'll win. It just means it's given an up or down vote. It's an up or down vote if 10% of the GOP is in support of it. Come back and negotiate with us, McCarthy. We'll take 20% in the end. How about that? If 20% of the GOP wants it, then it has to come to an up or down vote. 30%. What's your number, Mr. McCarthy? Others, I mean, like you look at the things like the majority of the GOP conference has to support a bill before it comes to a floor vote. Why is that hard? So these are just the simple rules that the Freedom Caucus is holding out for to try to make fundamental change to the way things operate. It can change the lay of the land, believe it or not. All right, who else is out there being a conservative rabble-rouser? Well, of course, DeSantis, and I'll get back to him in a minute. But there's people at state level that are doing some amazing things. And I love this story. Daily Wire has a story that came out yesterday. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem blocks state employees from downloading TikTok. Why is that a thing? So, first of all, if you're not tracking, TikTok is seen as being a tool of the Chinese government to gather information, and we don't know what else it can do. What else is embedded in there? I will tell you this. When I worked in secure facilities at a number of places in the military, you weren't allowed to carry a phone in. Why? Because a phone can be activated remotely and it can become a listening device. It got to the point that not only did I have to lock it outside the skiff in a box, then it got to the point that we had to lock it outside the building in a box. Then it got to the point that it had to be locked in our cars in the parking deck and not even being brought to the door of the building. We had people with sniffers, they called them, who would walk through the building and they could detect whether a cell phone was turned on anywhere in the building. And if they found you with a cell phone, they would ask, do you have a cell phone on your person right now? And it's possible somebody forgot it was in their purse or in their pocket or their briefcase. And if you fessed up and went, oh, crap, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring it, you know, one strike, all right? But if you tried to lie or run for the door when the sniffer came down the hallway and they found out about it, it was Katie bar the door. So the idea that state employees are downloading TikTok onto state phones and state computers and state devices, and we know what kind of crap is on TikTok. Well, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem was saying she hopes other states will follow her lead. She signed an executive order Tuesday of this week to ban government officials in her state from using the Chinese social media app over growing security concerns. The order takes effect immediately, and it bans all state government employees and contractors from downloading the app on government devices. TikTok has been the subject of growing concerns in recent months about data privacy and security risks, particularly to government officials. Her words, South Dakota will have no part in the intelligence gathering operations of nations who hate us. Thank you, Governor Noem. The Chinese Communist Party uses information that it gathers on TikTok to manipulate the American people, and they gather data off the devices that access the platform. Congressman Dusty Johnson, Republican from South Dakota, he's already run a bill through Congress, or tried to, that would ban TikTok on any federal computers, devices, or military installations. It just makes sense. But yet, most folks won't go along with it. They just want their TikTok. Man, it's your government phone, but man, it's TikTok. I got to check my socials. What's in my DMs? What happened with that last video? Listen, it ain't good. All right. Boomer, let's take a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. I'll wrap it up with the fact that Governor Ron DeSantis has just come out with a new book. A new book, you say? Yes, a new book. Talks about not only his life, but his belief that he's got a blueprint for how to stand up and have the courage to be free, he calls it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, by the way, the phone lines and the text lines are open. Same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You want to call or text, we'll welcome it. Coming up top of the hour, we will have our time on the phones with Jeff Poor and Tim Melton for the Grand Council, so stay by for that. I got a caller holding on the line through the break, so let me honor his time real quick. Chris from Lauderdale County. Chris, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. Thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're talking about these phone business, and you know, so many companies are going, including government agencies, are going to BYOD, bring your own device, and they lose all control of what people do on that phone during any time they're working or otherwise.
Yeah.
And that's a big distraction that I saw when I was still employed that would, and I could see red because instead of doing work, guys were in there on their phone playing games and crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a source of constant distraction when you've got that much access on a thing you can hold like that in your hand. It's a palm device. You can get lost in it if you're not careful.
Okay, I'm done whining. Thank you for what you're doing, and I enjoy your show.
Chris, thanks much, man. Appreciate you. He's right, though. I mean, I've seen it. I've been in places where phones weren't allowed that somehow another phones were there. I've been in places where, you know, employees had to be constantly reminded to stay off of their social media during work hours. You can do that during your lunch break or your smoke break. But, man, I'm telling you, it's amazing. All right, back on topic, conservative leadership. Let me kind of wrap this segment up. We had our conversation with Andy Roth, State Freedom Caucus Network. By the way, I'm not done with this. This is Alabama. This is one of the reddest states in the nation. This is the place where in the 4th Congressional District, which is where I live, right here in our listening area, North Alabama, Robert Adderholt's district, had the highest per capita vote for Trump in both 2016 and 2020 of any congressional district in the U.S. That tells you where we are. That tells you where we live. You can almost not even expect to see a Democrat elected to statewide office for any reason right now, unless you have a fluke like the Doug Jones fluke. And Doug Jones really just rode the coattails of the assassination of Roy Moore's character. They had the preliminary opportunity to sort of test fire the Brett Kavanaugh attack against Roy Moore, and lo and behold, it wound up being the demise of Roy Moore as a Republican candidate, and we got Doug Jones. That's going to be about the only way you're going to see a Democrat get elected. So here we are in a state like Alabama, where that holds true, where the Republican Party is the party. It's one party rule. In the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches, it's one party. I don't regret that, but if I regret anything, I regret that what it means, though, is that too often we see laziness, if you will, within the Republican ranks. And you see people that I've told this story multiple times, but when I was a party chairman for the Republican Party in Etowah County, when I was a party chairman, came time for elections, I believe it was the 2018 election. Had a guy call me, wanted to run for county commissioner, calls me and says, "Hey man, what I gotta do be an R?" And I said, "What's that?" He goes, "What I gotta do get an R by my name?" I said, "How about you be an R?" "Well, what's that even mean?" Luckily he didn't run for office. But that's what's out there. They know what it takes to get elected. You gotta have the magic R by your name. Well, it's not a blue check like on Twitter where you pay $8 and you get it. It's got to be something more than that. Well, we got to have courage. We got to have the ability to stand up against establishment. We got to have the ability to push back against cultural intrusions. So Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, story came out today on Fox News. Headline, blueprint for 2024. DeSantis pens a book on going after the entrenched elites as presidential speculation swirls. Keep in mind, he was a Freedom Caucus guy when he was in Congress. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida will chronicle his life in public service in a new book that will publish late in February, in what will be seen by political pundits as another step by the conservative champion toward a possible 2024 presidential run. The autobiography by DeSantis is titled The Courage to Be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival. I'm going to be reading that book. The publishers highlight that the autobiography will cover moments in his life, like growing up in a working-class family, playing in the Little League World Series, working his way through Yale University and Harvard, volunteering for the Navy after 9/11, serving in Iraq, his marriage to his wife, Casey, their children, her battle with cancer. But then he's also going to spend time talking about what it has taken for him to be able to push back against wokeism and cultural intrusions and the idea of big government telling him how to run his state. He shares his thinking, it says, from when he was fighting back against COVID mandates and restrictions, critical race theory, woke corporations, and what they describe as the partisan legacy media. And they add that the memoir, it says, will chronicle what they call his bold, substantial policy achievements. Anyway, the bottom line is this. It takes his time in public office as a congressman, now a governor, and it lays it all out with clarity, and it puts it in a place where you can actually call it a blueprint. I like that. We need some folks, whether it be DeSantis, whether it be Noam, whether it be anybody in the Freedom Caucus right now, we need a state Freedom Caucus for that matter, we need some folks who are willing to say, not on my watch. We need some folks who are willing to say, I know it's uncomfortable for you, but I'm going to be saying no to that. And if we don't start having some of that, or by the way, let me say this, it's not always no. Sometimes it's saying yes to something that even saying yes is scary. Like passing that bill, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it that Alabama is one of those states that has now voted against mutilating our children by passing the VCAP bill, the Vulnerable Child Protection Act, last spring. But that being said, not everybody was comfortable voting for it, but they did, and I'm glad. But it doesn't always happen. We need consistency. We need conservative leadership. All right, folks, we are coming right back with the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.